The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, August the 12th, the last 10 minutes we're spending with Wesley Smith talking about the reality of death by dehydration. You might have heard about this Washington Post story about the Yazidi that were killed by the radical Islamic group ISIS, describing the manner of their death largely by dehydration. Why does it apply there and not elsewhere? Wesley Smith is a regular guest, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of several books, including Forced Exit, The Slippery Slope from Assisted Suicide to Legalized Murder, and he is author of a column for National Review Online called Human Exceptionalism. Wesley, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks, Todd. It's been a lot of years we've been talking together.
What do you make of this Larry Bernstein Washington Post article on the death of the Yazidi, and what did it make you think about?
Can you imagine being my wife? I mean, I'm the only person who could take a story like that and see the bigger, what I think is the bigger picture. Of course, what's happening to the Yazidi is terrible, and Bernstein, Larry Bernstein, did a piece in which he talked about how agonizing dying of thirst is, which of course is true. And he wrote he contacted doctors, and it talked about how the brain shrinks, and how the brain may detach from the skull, and how the organs fail, and the drying out, and so forth. And that just made me, you know, think about all of the times I've heard over the years when we talk about dehydrating to death people like Terry Schiavo, which, by the way, is another way of saying dying of thirst, how we're told, oh, no, that's peaceful. That's painless. That's just a gentle death with dignity. It can't be both ways. This is a biological process. And the other thing that people who support dehydrating the cognitively disabled do is conflate it falsely with when somebody stops eating and drinking, let's say when they're dying of cancer. At the very end stage of that disease, and sometimes when people are dying literally of old age, they'll stop eating and drinking. That's a natural process. They don't die of thirst. They die of their disease. But when you take somebody who is like Terry Schiavo, or somebody with Alzheimer's disease, or somebody like a baby, sometimes they're born with a bowel obstruction, a Down syndrome baby, and you don't repair the bowel obstruction, which would be criminal if you didn't do it to somebody without Down syndrome disease, right? And they die of dehydration because they can't assimilate food and water. Then you say, oh, that's peaceful. It's such hypocrisy. And I just wanted to point out on the blog that dying of thirst is agonizing, whether the person dying of thirst is stuck on a mountain by jihadists or in a hospital bed or a nursing home bed, having their food and water taken away because they're disabled.
You point out that these euphemistically named organizations like Compassion and Choices that push for assisted suicide and various other forms of suicide, they like suicide by thirst and starvation. Why do they prefer it?
Well, they're pushing, it's called Voluntary Stop Eating and Drinking in the parlance of euthanasia advocacy, or VSED. And Compassion and Choices, which used to be called the Hemlock Society when it was more honest, they push for that because it's almost impossible to prevent the suicide, because what happens is that the person who is stopping eating and drinking, literally suicide by dehydration or self-starvation, will say, I don't want medical treatment such as a tube feeding or force feeding, and therefore often nothing can be done about it. Whereas if somebody's jumping off a bridge, you know, the police will step in and stop and prevent the suicide. And then, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, because Compassion and Choices says they're only for this for the terminally ill. But they published a book called Voluntary Stop Eating and Drinking, in which, and I quote it, they even advocate, say that the book is aimed at, there are those who may not be seriously ill but are simply done. And they with this book, show people how they can kill themselves by dehydration, which actually requires a willing medical professional to give very strong pain control to prevent the kind of agony that I'm talking about. And it even gets worse now, Todd. We are now seeing literally advocacy in the most major bioethics journal in this world, such as the Hastings Center report, and even one lawsuit to force nursing homes to starve and dehydrate Alzheimer's patients to death, even if they take food and water by mouth willingly, if in an advanced medical directive they said, if I become demented so that I don't have memory, I want to be starved to death. An advanced medical directive is to say what kind of medical treatment you might want or not want. A feeding tube is, under the law, medical treatment. Spoon feeding is not medical treatment. So now they're moving this beyond the idea of taking out a feeding tube to saying even if a person eats or drinks, nursing homes should be able to be forced to starve those people to death. Can you imagine? And can you imagine the number of people who would leave medicine rather than kill somebody? Because that's what they'd be doing.
With only about a minute here, Wesley, what's the bottom line? If, because you said it before, you can't have it both ways. And if the medical ethicists, so to speak, want to push death by dehydration and starvation, what would you say to them, especially in light of that Washington Post piece? About 1 minute.
Well, be honest. You know that it's an agonizing way to die, and you're pushing this idea of voluntary self VSED and removing feeding tubes has always been about getting us to the lethal injection. Because, and Jack Kevorkian was also saying this, you shouldn't dehydrate people to death. That's it takes 10 to 14 days. It took Terry Schiavo 2 weeks to die. Her eyes were bleeding at the end, according to her brother Bobby Schindler. So what the idea, I think, is you see how really rough this is. And instead of saying, don't do that, the advocacy will be, no, let's make it gentle and easy and do the lethal injection. That's what all of this is seeking to push us towards, killing as a form of medicine through lethal injection, which, by the way, we're told is cruel and unusual punishment when the same drugs are used for executions and the death penalty. So I call that cruel and unusual death with dignity, another paradox of euthanasia advocacy.
Wesley Smith is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including Forced Exit, The Slippery Slope from Assisted Suicide to Legalized Murder. And he authors a column for National Review Online called Human Exceptionalism. You can read his columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, it's always a pleasure, and thank you very much for bringing your insight to the subject.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Mary, the mother of Jesus. In fact, the church has confessed her to be, because Jesus is God, Mary, the mother of God. Dr. Curtis Giese will be our guest. We'll talk to Dr. David Adams about the patriarch in the Old Testament, Isaac, and we'll discuss inclusive language liturgy. In fact, our guest, Dr. Paul Grimm, suggests that it is the, as he calls it, the off-ramp to apostasy, inclusive language liturgy, whether it's removing the hymns and the hers and replacing them with the generic language, or even changing the very nature of God in the inclusive language liturgy. We'll talk about all of that tomorrow on Issues Etc. Thursday, we'll talk with Dr. Andrew Steinman about the so-called seven deadly sins. That's Thursday on the program. Well, Scripture is quite clear when it comes to death. Teach us to number our days, and they are numbered, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, the wisdom which is found in the foolishness of the cross, Jesus Christ, who is, even in the midst of death, our life. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.